Hello and welcome back to another episode of the podcast. Today's guest is Charlie Johnson. Charlie is a world-renowned transformation coach, changing the lives of hundreds, if not thousands of people by getting them in incredible shape. Charlie has been a massive inspiration to me in trying to grow my business to help more people, and in an indirect way has been a massive mentor to me. Charlie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for that. I feel very, sort of weird emotional about that. Thank you very much for having me on. So the big thing for like me in the way that I want to conduct and lead my life and have a legacy is to try and like inspire other people, not from just from like a physical point of view, from want to look jacked or like whatever. It's for people to lead their own lives and to try and achieve things that mean a lot to them and fulfill them. So if you say that, actually generally means a huge amount. So thank you.
No, not at all. So Charlie, tell everyone a little bit about where you started off, how you ended up in the fitness industry, and what you do now.
Okay, so sport and fitness has always been a passion for me. Like when I was younger, probably I was overweight in my early teens, so mentally that probably affected me a bit. I was very athletic in terms of I used to play a lot of rugby, a lot of sports, and I was very much into that, but my nutrition was proverbially a bit of a shit show. I went through a phase, for example, where I wouldn't drink water. I would only drink orange juice when I was like 14 for a year, which obviously probably led to a rapid amount of fat gain. And I'm surprised I'm not diabetic from that. Having come out of that phase, I got much more serious in sport when I was about 17, 18. I then got into the gym because of rugby as well. And from there, I really got a passion for like training, which I absolutely loved. So then I thought, oh, what I'll do is I'll become a personal trainer. And I absolutely love that. And then I went and qualified as PT, respectfully to anyone's personal trainer listening, PT qualifications are a pile of shit, respectfully. They put you through them just to get the courses passed, to tick a box. But like, so I was qualified personal trainer, I thought I knew the world because I had a certificate. In reality, I knew how to train within reason, but I didn't really know as much as I thought I did. And I did a PT for about a year. I then at the gym group in Guildford, when the original gym groups, I think it was like 2008. And then I left there to go and do a ski season, interesting enough, because I'm a qualified ski instructor, another random thing that I do. And I then came back from skiing and decided, you know what, like I love training, I love fitness, but this isn't really fulfilling me at the moment. I'm not really enjoying what I'm getting back from this. Probably at the time I wasn't training the sort of clients I wanted to train. So I wasn't finding it as fulfilling as I wanted to. And I was probably missold from the PT company and what the realistic outcome of what I could be doing. And I was obviously young and naive. So from there, I actually took a big change and went into the property industry. So I ended up, this is quite a funny story as well. So I actually remember when it happened, I came back from the gym and I was like, oh, I'm going to apply for it, look for a job. So I applied for this job as like a letting agent. And I live, for anyone who's from the UK, I live in a place called Epsom, Tatton at the time. And it said the location was like Walton. So I presumed it was like this little village near me called Walton on the Hill. And it wasn't. It was actually a place called Walton on Thames, which was about 45 minutes away. But I thought, I'll just go for the interview. Got the job. And then I was like, oh, I'm only going to do this for 6 months, commute to Ball Lake. And then I ended up being there for 8 years. Which is quite funny because I only applied for it by chance. And from there, I actually became manager of the branch within about 2 years and really flourished within that corporate sales environment and was top of my game of what I did. During that period of working in a full-time job in the property industry, I still had a huge passion for training, absolutely loved it. I loved it, but I didn't have the understanding of how to really optimally get results until probably when I was mid-20s, until the first time I actually probably really got in shape. Now, that was a real pivoting moment for me, and I suddenly realised that, oh, maybe I can do something with this. And I then also then went on subsequently compete, which is probably the first time I did that, is probably the most difficult thing I've ever done, because like physically and mentally that pushed me well out of my comfort zone. And I got a lot of grief from people asking, why are you doing this? And it was all very weird and odd, and people gave me a lot more grief about it. And I think it's probably a bit more socially acceptable now. So that obviously took place. And I just started documenting my journey, more of my life. And then I ended up having people start to approach me to help them get in shape, which I obviously subsequently did. A lot of them were like friends, family, who I helped for free, got some incredible results. And then more and more people started coming to me. So I was like, oh, there's an opportunity here for a business. Like, I can help people, which is my passion, transform loads of lives. One thing led to another. That started to escalate quite quickly. I then launched my Shred and Ape program with the idea that I could basically transform thousands of lives at a huge volume, which I have done. And then I ended up actually leaving my full-time job and then doing it full-time, which was 25th of February last year that I left and never looked back.
Amazing. And that's definitely something I wanted to jump into was a lot of people end up starting their own business or going into something like that. Usually they hate the job that they're in. And you always hear people saying that the death of dreams is like having a life that's okay. So it's not bad enough that you actually need to go and make a change. But it's not good enough that it's what you want to do. Like, it's not fulfilling enough. So how did you kind of decide that you wanted to make a change and actually risk, I won't say risk, but like take a chance on yourself and leave your full-time job, which would be considered the safe option, to go and start your own fitness business, which I imagine you probably got a lot of pushback on.
So respectfully, at the time, I should have done it earlier. I had already built it to the stage where like I was doing really well and had a lot of clients, but it was literally pulling me from pillar to post. So like anyone who says to me that they don't have time, I remember the summer of 2018, I was competing at that point. So I was training cardio in the morning, going to work full time, managing like a stressful environment, like being in charge of everyone, and then training in the evening, and then also running my coaching business and all my social media and having a wife and all this other stuff. So if anyone says to me they don't have time, like I found a way to do it. I was skiving off and doing a lot of work at work at the time, but that's another story. So like that is anything is possible if you set your mind to it. And I took a huge amount of inspiration to become the person that I wanted to be, because I didn't want to look back and regret have an average life. Like for me, you've only got one shot. I could get hit by a bus tomorrow, and then I could have easily just stayed in a safe job and I just work Monday to Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I don't have to worry about anything, don't have to do any work, just chill out. I was getting paid pretty well. I had a very comfortable living and existence, but was it fulfilling and exciting? And was I making memories? Is actually probably a big thing. And in realistic terms, no, I was sitting behind a desk all day, creating someone else's corporate vision and dream for them rather than doing what I wanted to do. So one of the big things I say all the time, and even like obviously Chris Spim, you know, when we were in the States last week, is like, the amount of memories I create on a daily, weekly basis now are insane compared to before. I'm just sitting in an office all the time, like existing. Like why, if you don't risk something, you don't try to be different and try and achieve something, then what's the point in life? You're just living in fear, which I know, like it's easier to stay where you are than to push yourself out of your comfort zone and try and become something else. But you have to sometimes have the courage to do so. And I still, like that day I left my job is probably, it's one of the most memorable days I'll never forget.
Yeah, no, that is amazing. Cause like, I think you people take for granted how difficult it probably was to go from like actually taking the risk of a safe job. And something else I wanted to kind of touch on is, as you were saying, competing was something that you got a bit of pushback on when you started doing it. What about like starting a fitness social media and even starting a fitness business? Like, was there a lot of pushback from your friends?
Oh yeah, like loads, absolutely loads. And so like, I categorically remember every single person who ever like put me down at the start. And to be honest with you, I remember when I was competing and I was like struggling, I was like, that was literally fuel for my fire. I was like, I'm going to show these fuckers, like not swear, show these people like, that like I can do this and that I'm not here to mess around with like anything. Like I will achieve what I want, and for me nothing gives me greater motivation than telling me I can't do something, because I can do anything I want. And I just have to have you can achieve anything you want, you just have to have the backbone to go through it and like do what it takes to get there. And like so many people are so small minded. I remember when I first started, people were like, oh, why is Charlie posting topless selfies on the internet? Why is he doing X? Why is he doing Y? Who does he think he is? And like not from an arrogant point of view. Now I see these people now and I just smile because it's like, I look back now and this was probably like 3 years ago and I'm like, those people could have crushed my dreams and I wouldn't be living the life I'm leaving because these people's small-mindedness, which is why I don't think you should ever comment on, if someone wants to go and become an astronaut, cool, do whatever it takes to come and be an astronaut. Like, why should you quash someone else's dreams or have the right to do that? Because if you say that to them, like, oh, you can't do that, they might not actually go and try and achieve what they want to achieve because of your own narrow-mindedness and your own negativity. That's unfortunately the world we live in now, and that's why I'm mentally now in a very good place, but I am very selective of who I spend my time with and who I speak with because I don't allow that sort of thought process into my world, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, yeah. 100%. And that is like a great way to use kind of other people's negativity, as you were saying. Use it as fuel for your fire rather than letting it kind of burn your house down, as the saying goes. And what kind of tips would you have for anyone, let's say, that is in the position you were in, where they have a full-time job, a lot of like, let's say if they have a wife or kids, they have a lot of things that they have to put time into, and then they want to go and start their own business. How would you manage that? How do you balance that?
So I'm going to be straight up and be honest. I'm still working on the whole balance thing. So I'm not a very balanced individual. So I'll be honest with that respect. That's probably a personal flaw. So in that regard, what I would suggest is if you can just create barriers and buffers in your life. So if you said, for example, okay, I'm gonna give my tips up 2 hours a day to work my business. So either you get up 2 hours earlier, like say for example you've got a wife and you've got family or whatever, I'm gonna get up 2 hours earlier before everyone else, I'm gonna focus my business those 2 hours and then get out and done. Or same thing, you go to bed 2 hours later and get the work done then. Just try and block in like a little window of where you get stuff done. So like interestingly, I read this in Craig Ballantyne's book, Perfect Day Formula. I think it was and actually some podcasts I've listened to recently about like creating like buffers and barriers in your day. So I did this last night, interestingly enough, and I was like, I am going to get my work done by 7 o'clock. This is the list of stuff I have to get done. And once it's 7 o'clock, I am not allowed to use my laptop at all to like stop me working and make me more productive. And I actually did it with 10 minutes to spare. So I was like, I was pretty impressed with that. So that's one thing I would recommend is to try and have structure and time limits. Otherwise, like, I will just work all day and I won't necessarily, like I'm productive, but I could be more productive in a time efficient point of view. And so it's just trying to make the most of every hour and every moment you have of your day. Like the same thing with life in general. You can like be obsessed with what you do and with your life and just try and cram as much into it and like live the best life ever. And that's essentially what I want to try and do is do as much as possible, create as many memories as possible and impact as many people as I can.
Yeah. It sounds a bit like Parkinson's law, you know, whatever time you give to a task, it'll occupy that time. So like if you give yourself 3 hours to write an Instagram post, you'll procrastinate and you'll take the 3 hours. Or if you give yourself 15 minutes, you'll get it done.
Exactly. And that's why it's one of the things that used to frustrate me from my corporate job before is they just waste time. Like you have a meeting for an entire day where you could do it in like 10 minutes. It's just like,
yeah, that's my issue with the nine to five type job is that like you're doing 9 to 5, but it doesn't matter if you have 2 hours worth of work to whatever, you have to make it last the full day, and you don't get kind of rewarded for working harder, you just get rewarded for staying there all day. So it's kind of it's a terrible system.
That's one of the things that actually frustrated me most about being employed by another company or whatever, is that you're actually like, when you think about it in the bare raw essence, you are selling your time and your life for money. That literally is it. You are selling your life,
and you can't scale it, because it's just, there's only a certain amount of hours that you can work, and then you have a certain, they put a value on how much they value your time, kind of. Something else I wanted to ask you was advice to people that are struggling to get started with their fitness, because I know probably a lot of your clientele would have that issue. So just the actual getting themselves into the gym and starting making positive changes in their life.
So like the one thing I'm a big advocate, just taking it 24 hours at a time, and just like complexity is the enemy of execution. So don't try and make things too complicated and too fancy. So like try and whatever you're doing, like with your programming or nutrition, like have a coach. That's vital, I think, in particular if you're a beginner, is just have something that's simple and easy for you to follow that you can adhere to, because ultimately you being able to stick to doing something consistently 80% of the time for a period of time is what will achieve results, rather than being 100% perfect for 5 days and then having 2 days or a shit show. Like, that's not going to work. So for me, in real terms, the most important thing is that you can have a plan and a vision of what you want to do and that you can keep consistent to, rather than trying to come up with the perfect training split. Like, the more I think I've learned in the last 12 to 18 months, so my own podcast where I've interviewed some of the best in the world, for like Joe Bennett, the hypertrophy coach, Stan Efferding, Scott Stevenson, like hugely intelligent guys and like best in the world in terms of weight training. And like, I always ask them, so like, what's the best training split? And it's like, there is no best training split. It's like, whatever you can stick to and works best for you is reality. Like, the most important thing when it comes to training is execution and intensity. And that's probably another thing where a lot of people, like if you're a beginner, that's a skill you need to acquire, like training intensity. But that's where a lot of people will go wrong. And that's where personally I get very frustrated sometimes with coaching people, which is very rare because I get world-class results. But like, if someone's not getting results and they're in a calorie deficit and they say they're sticking to the diet and they say they're training hard and the progress isn't coming, I'm like, something isn't right here. And then if they swear blind that they're not cheating on a diet, I'm like, you're probably training like a pansy. Like, I remember I was with a friend of mine at King's Gym in Croydon. I saw one of the guys who I think he was on the Shred and Ape program. And I was watching him and I was like, the most important set, most important point of the set is the last rep when you fail, like when you come at the end of the set. And I was like, I bet you if you watch him now, like I knew this guy wasn't progressing. I was like, if you watch him, he will finish this set before he should be finishing. He'll just stop. And I watched him and he stopped. Like, you should, at the point you're training, those last reps should start to slow. If you're just like banging them out and then just stop, you're not really causing any reason for your body to have an adaptive response to have to improve, or realistically probably trying.
Yeah, if you're not struggling, you're obviously not pushing hard enough.
No.
That's definitely great advice for anyone looking to start. Something as well, when you kind of switched over to what you're doing now, how did you know that it was something that you wanted to do and then that you were willing to put like 24/7 into? Was there a point, or was it kind of a gradual thing?
It was a gradual process of me being confident to leave my other job and believing in myself. And I think a lot of that's having the right people around you, the support network, and having a life experience from that. I think from the people I have surrounded me, is very, very fortunate. I think when you know, like for me, I get out of bed every day with like, I'm excited to go and do, like, I've got a massive list on my wall of like projects of things that I'm working on, which is quite daunting when I look at it now. And like, for me, I get excited about coming up with ideas, and I'm excited every day because I have all these plans of things I want to do and how I can help people. And like, for me, like even you saying it at the start of this podcast made me a bit emotional and happy. It's like, for someone to say to me that I've inspired them, like, it means a huge amount. So that for me is like really important.
Great answer. You said there that you have like your whiteboard full of kind of your list of things to do, or like your goals. How do you set goals? And when you do, how do you break them down into kind of achieving them?
So generally I will try and set a 2 month goal, a 6 month goal, a 12 month goal, and probably like a longer 5 year thing that I have in my mind. And me being the person that I am, I'm probably relentlessly driven, which is good, but it's also bad that I never give myself credit. So I'm very harsh on myself. And it's only when, like, I think I was on a flight to, back from Dubai or something into December. And I looked at a list of goals I wrote at the start of December, which were 2 month goals. And I looked through them and I was like, I already ticked off 3 out of 5 of these, and I've already done, it's only 3 weeks, but I hadn't even realized. It was just by chance I was on a plane bored and looking through my phone. I think it's very important to give you context of like how far you've come. And if you, I'm big into like the law of attraction, like if you don't vocalize what your goals are and what you want to achieve, then like you'll never achieve them because you don't have the confidence to put that out there and say, this is what I want to achieve. This is who I want to become. This is who I want to help. And if you don't have the ability to push that out there into the world and say, this is what I want to do, then it's never going to happen.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And when it comes to like when you're setting goals, like massive goals like that you don't think that you can achieve or that, you know, will take a lot of effort. Do you ever get kind of the imposter syndrome of wondering like,
daily,
am I good enough to do this, or, and how do you deal with that if you do?
I get that a lot, to be honest with you, which a lot of people find surprising. And I think it sounds a bit of a weird thing, but it's something like I get quite a lot of anxiety and overwhelm sometimes with having a lot, like saying, I just look at that board and I've got all this stuff to do. Anxiety with feeling a little bit overwhelmed with having a lot going on, a lot coming in at me all the time. And there's a saying that I really like, action beats anxiety. So for my way of dealing with everything is whenever I'm like stressed or I feel self-conscious that I'm not worthy of what I'm doing, it just makes me work harder. So I just get my head down. I'm like, let's just get on with this. Just do this, just do this, just do this. Because I take fulfillment from helping people is like the biggest thing for me, like inspiring people. And then secondly is progressing in life and like just ticking stuff off and achieving things. Like I'm a massive nerd for like writing a list. I've got a list in front of me now, a list of like what I need to do every day. And I get massive satisfaction of like ticking stuff off. So for me, like if I ever feel like that, I will just, it makes me work harder and just try and like do more. So like I'm big into something I like doing is come up with an idea or a program or like a workout thing and like coming up with like a vision of something and then seeing that go into the world into fruition and seeing the reaction that I get back from that, from my own thought process and something I created, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get completely what you're saying. Like actually, because if you just think about the big challenge ahead of you and you start getting that kind of imposter syndrome, you get kind of paralysis by analysis. That's the way of saying it.
And I think I see that hell of a lot from people. And I think generally the people who tend to suffer from that worst are probably people who are perfectionists and people who are very creative. So I'm not like my personal weakness being straight up is I'm a bit of a half-ass Harry. I'll just like work stuff. I think I'll just do it and I'll work it out. So I probably am not as much of a perfectionist as I should be, which is a downfall, but it's also a massive strength because I implement and do things very, very quickly and get stuff done rapidly. And I also think the same thing with people who are very creative. They often they overthink things too much and try and things make things too perfect when necessarily they don't. Like something getting done and being a 7 out of 10 or something being late and taking 3 times as long and being an 8 out of 10, the 7 out of 10 is going to win all day long.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I'd be very similar in that way. If someone says, can you do this? I'd just be like, yep, and just kind of figure it out along the way. I'm a bit of a yes man when it comes to that sort of stuff. Something else I want to ask is when, let's say, because I'm 20, so I always ask my guests this, what would be your advice that you'd give to your 20-year-old self?
I wish I could have this conversation right now. So the biggest mistake I made was having too much of an ego in my early 20s and thinking and like not being open-minded and thinking that I knew everything, which now I'm on the completely opposite end of the spectrum. Like all I want to do, like last night I was just booking seminars and things like that I want to go and do and learn. And that's, for me, like something I've been saying a lot because I heard it when I was American, I loved it, is life is a game of skill acquisition. And for me, it's like a video game, like Call of Duty. So I'm just trying to like level up constantly now, like mentally and physically. But back then I was too narrow-minded and thinking that I had the answers when I didn't. So you'll never be the smartest, the strongest. There's always someone's better than you. So try and surround yourself and learn from people who are above you and are ahead of you. And that's the fastest way for you to improve. So that's like you investing in a coach, a business mentor, a trainer, therapist, whatever it might be. Like that is the fastest way to get from A to B. And like all the knowledge in the world you want is on the internet somewhere. It will answer any question you want, but you just have to go and find it and implement it. But the fastest way for you to actually get results and learn is to go and work with whoever is the best within their field, which is why I have so many individual people I currently work with and worked with in the past who I basically work with them to acquire their knowledge and like be like a sponge and try and like learn as much as possible. Like probably, for example, my trip in the US in the last 3 weeks, I have probably learned more than most people will probably learn in 3 years. Probably more.
Yeah. It's one of those things as well, it seems. The more you learn, the more you realize you don't know. And then kind of the more you do want to learn. When you kind of switched over to the career that you're in now, was it a massive thing for you to be able to work from wherever you want and travel? Is that a big part of what you do?
Yeah, that's awesome. It's really cool. But for me, it was like freedom. So I've always just wanted to be free and to do what I want. And this is one of the best moments of my life. I think I've always remembered. So the day I left my job, I basically just walked out on payday because they wouldn't pay me basically correctly after I did my notes in, because I was on like a heavy base sales based commission. So I'm like, I'm not going to work for free for a month. So I remember it like leaving my job, and then I went in the morning collecting my shit and then pissed off. And then I remember my boss at the time called me and was like, "You need to come back." I was like, "I don't have to do anything. I don't have to listen to you. Like, I can." I was like, "No, I can do what I want." That's a very, very empowering moment in itself. I was like, "No one can actually tell me what to do. So I'm in control of my own destiny, who I want to be, and what I want to do. I don't have people above me to tell me like, oh, you have to be here at 8 o'clock, you have to be there at 9 o'clock. Like, some people might need that structure, and it is a learning curve. And I'm still learning about how to master managing myself, as it were, because my biggest challenge is with myself and my own mind and keeping myself on the straight and narrow, as it is with pretty much everybody. Like, you can achieve anything you want, but you just need to be in the right positive thought process and the right environment to succeed. Whether that be from a business point of view or from a fitness point of view. If you're in a happy support network, you've got great like educated people around you, then on whatever the subject is, there's no way you won't succeed. But that was probably one of the most empowering moments of my life, when they said to me like, "Oh, you need to come back." I was like, "I don't need to do anything. I'm not see ya." Like,
I can imagine. I'd love to have been there to see that. You might have just answered it with that one, but what does success mean to you, or how would you define success?
Success means to me is having impact on people's lives. I'm like, so for me, I just want to help as many people as I can and try and like inspire as many people as I can to be happy, lead the life they want to be healthy, be fit. A big thing that I'm very passionate about is education from a nutrition and training point of view. So something I'd love to do, and I haven't really been able to think how to do it, is like, I suffered from being overweight in my early teens. Would be a way to educate people within schools about how nutrition actually works and how to eat and how to train and the importance of these things. Whether I'll be able to come up with a way to do that, I'm not quite sure. I'm trying to think of a way to do it on scale, but it frustrates me massively that this isn't something that's being addressed, because like, I'd be putting myself out of a job. But if we fixed that at a school, like education level, and people understood like how to look after themselves correctly, which is obviously a vital skill, then you would solve the obesity epidemic, huge amounts of health problems, the NHS billions. But there we go. It's like, it's one of those things, we're in a very funny world we live in, where they believe in like the shit that, say, someone like Jamie Oliver or whoever like will recommend these healthy eating plans, but they're massively high in calories and they don't actually explain anything behind them. So
yeah, coconut oil, avocado.
The food's healthy, that's great, but it's not necessarily gonna help you stay in shape or be leaner or keep your body weight down.
Yeah, just all them healthy fats and buzzwords like that. But not much you can do about that right now, I guess. Just keep doing what you're doing and trying to educate as many people as you can. That's what we're all trying to do, I guess.
Yeah, 100%.
So you're big on that your network is your net worth. So, and I'm of the opinion that like the people that you surround yourself doesn't necessarily have to be people that you actually see in person. A lot of it can be the people that you follow online. Podcasts, Instagram and everything. So who would be people that you follow, people that you'd recommend everyone else to follow?
Okay, so obviously you know him well, of my great friend Chris Spearman. So me and him go way back. We spend a lot of time together and he's had a massive influence on my life. So he would be one person. Another person I'd highly recommend, funny enough, another Irishman, is Dr. Deans and Smart. So he's probably the most intelligent person I've ever spoken with in terms of nutrition, health, supplements. I talk to, like, I'm an educated, intelligent guy. I'll talk to him on the phone about something and I'm literally like, this is way over my head. So he comes from a massive science background and designs tons of health supplements. Incredibly intelligent guy. Why I buy into someone like that is because his core values align with mine, that he just wants to help people and he has no BS about just trying to make money from people. So he's a really, really, really good guy. I'd highly suggest people check him out. So those would be two. Another one I'm a big fan of is Mike O'Hearn, because I like, he's respectively a bit older, but he sets an excellent example of training, nutrition. And for me, that's the way I see myself going, is I want to be like the older guy in shape as I age, respectfully, and lead by example, that respect and inspire people. And what I also like about Mike O'Hearn is that, like, and like a couple of other people in the fitness industry, is he, a lot of people don't realize this, he's got like loads of other businesses he owns in terms of property, which is why he trains at like 4 o'clock in the morning every single day and why he's jacked. And like, guy, like, for me, that's what I find inspiring, is people who are not necessarily just successful with being in shape, but they're successful in other realms of their lives as well. Because I don't want to be a one trick pony of like, yeah, it's cool to have abs and be strong, but I want to have abs and be strong, have a brilliant mind. And that probably brings me on to the last person of the four, would probably be Ben Pekulski. He's another person I take a lot of inspiration from, just because his thought process is very in depth and his control of his mind is incredible. And also in terms of him from a training perspective, his knowledge of training execution is probably second to none.
Great. I follow most of those. I'll have to look up Dr. Dean.
Check out, he's Irish as well, so you should know him.
Yeah, I know.
Drop him a message and say, Charlie recommended me to follow you.
Yeah, will do.
I emailed him this morning, so.
See then if I can get him on the podcast. As far as podcasts then, what podcasts do you listen to? Any ones that you'd recommend?
Oh, that's a good question. Depends on what context and what you want to know and learn more about. I'm actually going to get my phone out to have a look at what I've listened to recently. So the one that I find just gets you like fired up in the belly a little bit that I like is Andy Frisella. I think it's called the Motherfucking CEO Project or something is his podcast. So that's very, very good. Ben Pekulski's, funny enough, Muscle Intelligence podcast is very good. My own podcast, The Powercast, I'm going to throw that out there. And those are probably the main ones I listen to. I listen to a few business ones I like. I like Craig Ballantyne's Early to Rise Radio is good. He's very good from a timekeeping perspective and being organized, which is something I'm trying to focus on as I get busier within my life, trying to keep control so that my work doesn't become all consuming and that I still am Charlie Johnson and have time with my family and wife and whatever.
Perfect. And last one of them that I'll ask you is about a book. Do you have a book recommendation that you could give to someone, even like just a general book that you think would help anyone, and then something fitness related?
Okay, so two. So firstly, one book I would highly recommend, I found very inspiring. Actually, no, I'm going to recommend three. So first one, I think it's called, it's not about the bike, it's Lance Armstrong's, I think it was that one, from when basically this book where he got diagnosed with testicular cancer. And that was probably one of the most incredible books I've ever read. And you read about how this guy is the best cyclist in the world. He's making millions of dollars, got a big house, Porsche and drive. And then next day he wakes up, he realizes he's got testicular cancer. He's essentially dying. All his sponsors drop him. He's got no income. And then you're like, fuck, like that could happen to, like, that could happen overnight to pretty much anyone. You're like, Jesus. And then how he, basically the book talks about how he fought through cancer and how he was at the point where he was still trying to ride his bike, cycling to the point where like just try and keep himself fit, strong. Where the point where like he literally like fall in ditches and stuff because he couldn't even stay on it. That was like an incredible read on someone fighting adversity, and obviously how he came back after that's insane. So that's definitely something I'd highly recommend. Another one similar to that is a book I'm actually currently reading at the moment, which is called Your Erroneous Zones, which is actually about your mind and you having accountability and awareness of how you feel, and like you feeling anxious, for example, which I can get a little bit, is your own conscious decision to feel anxious and how you have control of everything you do. And then my last book would be Total Recall by Arnold Schwarzenegger. I think it's his autobiography, which is cool because, like, as I said, I take huge inspiration from people who within the fitness industry who are multifaceted. So they don't just like, oh, look at me, I'm Jack, and that's all they do. Like, dude came from Austria, was like known as the best bodybuilder ever, and then became a movie star and then governor of California. And but actually what people also don't realize, again, whilst he was a bodybuilder, he was building a massive property empire at the same time. So like people like that fascinate me, who are successful in many different areas of their life. And there's no reason, the common denominator why they're all successful is because they're very hardworking and they're very organized and driven.
Great. Yeah, I'll have to give all of them. I don't think I've read any of them, actually. And I've been recommended Your Erroneous Zones 4 times now. So I definitely everyone's on that book. So, Charlie, I'm conscious of your time. I know you have a massive list of things to get through today. So if you could just tell everyone where's the best place to find you, and tell a bit about your program, your podcast, your Instagram.
Okay, so exciting things I have coming up. So I've got Shredinate. Like I've said to you guys, really my big point in life is to have an impact in people's lives and to try and positively impact you so you can live your healthiest and fittest best life and teach you. So which is why I launched Shredinate last year, which is like the world's number one 8-week transformation program. So that's for the guys. And I've also just released Sculptinate, which is a female version of the program. So both those programs are available, customized 8-week transformation programs, which have been up to £5,000 worth of prizes. So for any details of those, head over to my Instagram, which is at Charlie Johnson Fitness, drop me a message. Also you could drop me a message, and that's probably easiest. The link in that is in my bio for either of the programs. My podcast is called The Powercast. So I've got some loads of cool episodes on there, loads of educational stuff, lots of mindset, which I'm very much big into. I've also got a YouTube channel, Charlie Johnson Fitness, surprise, and Facebook. So check me out with those guys. Got plenty of content on there. Like the big thing that I'd say to anyone who, whether it be your fitness goal or your business goal, is just be relentless, because I'm not respectfully the most intelligent person in the world. I'm not, like people tell me I'm genetically gifted. I'm not at all, but like Chris will tell you this, like the one thing that I, like he always says that he wouldn't want to get a fight with me because I always wouldn't give up till I died. Like I just keep going because like for me, I'm not the most intelligent, I haven't got the best genetics, but I'm just relentlessly consistent and I'll just keep going. And eventually if you keep taking the right actions in life, then you'll get the right reactions back and you'll end up where you want to be.
Great advice. And thanks so much again, Charlie. This is absolutely amazing. And thank you.
Absolutely a pleasure, man. Thank you.